Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, an announcement on the go-ahead for works to begin on the A5 is imminent. A man has been arrested in relation to an investigation into the attempted bribery of a professional League of Ireland footballer which was reported to Gardaí in Donegal earlier this year. The US Special Envoy to Northern Ireland has been recognised today by the Atlantic Technological University for his outstanding contributions to public service, civil society and peacebuilding. And investigations are continuing after the discovery of over 7,000 euro worth of drugs in Milford. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. First in news though, an announcement on the go-ahead for works to begin on the A5 is imminent. Since 2007, more than 50 lives have been lost on the route which links Derry with Auchnacloy in County Tyrone. The Stormont executive has been meeting today and an announcement from the North's infrastructure minister is expected to follow. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says it's vital now that work on the major infrastructure project commences immediately.
All of our thoughts will absolutely be with the families who have lost loved ones right across the entirety of the island, because there's people that travel on the stretch of road on a daily basis from every part of this island and beyond. And unfortunately, many have not returned to their families. People that were out locally on simple journeys to go to a shop, visit friends, travel to work, school, or any of the things that we should be taking for granted and do take for granted on a daily basis in terms of simple journeys. Unfortunately, those people have not returned home, and this road does not discriminate. It claims the lives of and has claimed the lives of countless men, women and children. And I've said for quite a long number of years that it is my firm belief, and it is confirmed in the numbers of tragedies on this road, that this road in its current form is the most dangerous road on these islands.
And once these plans get the green light, when or how soon can we expect work to commence?
Well, my view would be that the work would need to start immediately. For too long, when announcements of these major projects and significant life-saving projects such as the A5 are announced, there is delay following the announcement and nothing happens. If that happens on this occasion, I would have great fear of the circumstances that would unfold. My view is that every day of a delay leads to further lives being put at risk. And my view today is that Minister O'Dowd must immediately, when announcing the A5, instruct contractors to begin construction of the road immediately. Do not waste a single minute.
A man has been arrested in relation to an investigation into the attempted bribery of a professional League of Ireland footballer, which was reported to Gardaí in Donegal earlier this year. According to the Irish Independent, the alleged bribery offence happened on the opening day of this season's League of Ireland in February. The player who was offered the bribe notified senior personnel at his club, and a complaint was made to Gardaí in Donegal, who then alerted the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau. The man, aged in his 30s, was detained at a Garda station in the west of the country yesterday and has since been released without charge. A fine is to be prepared for the DPP. A senior FinHarps official has confirmed to Highland Radio News that it was not a FinHarps player. The US Special Envoy to Northern Ireland has been recognised today by the Atlantic Technological University for his outstanding contributions to public service, civil society and peacebuilding. Joseph P. Kennedy III, who is the grandnephew of US President John F. Kennedy, was awarded an honorary doctorate during a ceremony at the ATU's Letterkenny campus earlier today. Speaking to Highland Radio News, Dr. Kennedy says it was an honour for him to travel to see the work of the ATU.
To be here at ATU, to meet with some of the students, to meet with the faculty, to learn in even greater detail the impact that ATU has on Donegal, has on the island of Ireland, and how it puts its students first. So this is an incredible honour for me and one I'll cherish.
You spoke of the importance of the sense that ATU is rooted in the community, perhaps more so than colleges elsewhere.
The connection that ATU has to its communities, to its students, to its employers, to know the skills that the students are going to need in order not just to succeed and get a job, but to to sustain a livelihood, to be able to raise children, raise a family, and be able to stay in communities that they call home rather than having to feel the pressure to pick up and move to major cities, which is a mass challenge that we're seeing all over the world. The solution to challenges like that are the ATUs and expanding those, resourcing them completely, and making sure that they are able to serve the students in the way in which ATU does.
Well, speaking earlier, Dr. Orla Flynn, president of the Atlantic Technological University, says it's a significant day for them.
It's a really big day. It's a day of great celebration for us. We're 2.5 years as a new university now, and to be able to award an honorary doctorate is a very special privilege that we have. We're particularly delighted to be recognising the service and the work of Joseph Kennedy III, who's our inaugural recipient. And I guess the symbolic nature of that, the work cross-border, we are the only university in the Republic with a strong cross-border presence, with campuses in Sligo and in Letterkenny, and the well-being of our cross-border community is hugely important to all of us.
And I mean, earlier at the start of this year, you signed a memorandum of understanding with UU. As it happens now, Taoiseach Simon Harris was there in his capacity as Higher Education Minister at that point, and it does speak to that cross-border commitment with ATU, that to offer this to Joseph Kennedy III at this point in time, just before he retires from the position, it is a statement of intent, as it were, from ATU, that we value, we recognise, and we want to promote that cross-border element.
I absolutely couldn't have put it better myself. I think you've absolutely nailed it there, Donal. I know that Taoiseach Simon Harris was in Ulster at the Derry campus recently delivering the Hume lecture, and I think there's a kind of, we have a great relationship with Ulster University, and there's colleagues from Ulster here today to join with us in the celebration, and I think a growing maturing of that relationship is, we're going to witness that in the years ahead.
Investigations are continuing after the discovery of over 7,000 euro worth of drugs in Milford. A woman was arrested following searches as part of Operation Tara. Ian Delaney has more.
Three searches were carried out in Milford by the Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit. As a result of these, cannabis plants, hallucinogenic mushrooms, amphetamines and cannabis cultivation paraphernalia were all seized. Their value is estimated to be worth around 7,710 euro. The woman in question has been released without charge and investigations are ongoing. Gardaí are appealing for anyone who has information in relation to the sale and supply of controlled substances to contact Donegal Divisional Drugs Unit in confidence.
The UN Security Council is convening an emergency meeting in New York today to discuss the situation in the Middle East. The United Nations is calling for urgent de-escalation with the region on the brink of an all-out war. Alan Butler reports.
Tensions have been building in the Middle East for the past year. Since then, thousands have been killed across Palestine, Lebanon and in Israel. Hezbollah says it's fighting Israeli soldiers near the Lebanese border as Israel continues to push its invasion of the country. More than 200 missiles were fired from Iran towards Israel last night, most of which were intercepted. Israel says there will be a retaliation to the barrage, while 24 towns in Lebanon have been told by the Israeli military to evacuate. Meanwhile, Israel has banned the UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres from entering the country for what it sees as his anti-Israeli bias.
A Donegal deputy has slammed the omission of the defective concrete block crisis from Budget 2025. Deputy Thomas Pringle, in his budget statement, says the housing allocations are being misplaced and in reality will not do much to help the housing crisis. He believes €210 million is needed to ensure 100% redress for thousands of homeowners. Deputy Pringle has hit out at the apparent lack of care from government.
There's no affordable housing available for those looking to buy a home. Any TD who spends time in the constituency office will know this. And house prices will only continue to rise. In Donegal, prices in the third quarter of 2024 were 12% higher than a year previously. The average price of a home in Donegal is now 65% above the level seen at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the government's response is to increase the threshold so that less people will have to pay inheritance tax and to extend the Help to Buy scheme. The Help to Buy scheme does nothing but push up house prices, and very few people are actually even eligible for the scheme, given that it's only for houses built after 2017. You will find very few houses built after 2017 in rural Ireland, and so the government's claim that they're helping all first-time buyers with a scheme is just not true. It's builders that are being helped with this scheme.
And the first home scared equity scheme is just as ineffective. It only applies to houses that are new builds, yet the Budget 2025 expenditure report details that a further €80 million will be spent on the scheme, while shockingly only a meagre €21 million will be spent on traveller-specific accommodation, while just €70 million set aside for the remediation of homes affected by the defective concrete blocks and apartment defects. €210 million is needed to ensure 100% redress for homeowners affected by defective blocks alone. And yet there isn't a single mention of the defective block scheme in the budget. This is an absolute disgrace and shows that the government has no compassion or care for affected homeowners.
Meanwhile, the Health Minister has denied claims the budget did nothing near what's necessary for nurses and midwives. Funding allocated yesterday would allow for over 3,300 extra staff to be recruited in 2025. However, at the Oireachtas Health Committee meeting today, the INMO and SIPTU said the budget didn't give any consideration to staffing capacities. Minister Stephen Donnelly says he listened to recommendations and did what he believes to be necessary.
So what I take very seriously is the call from clinical teams around the country that say, look, we are short physios or psychologists or nurses or doctors or whatever it may be. There's no question but that there are teams around the country under significant pressure. However, when we look at the totality of our public health service, it is unrecognisable compared to just 5 years ago in terms of the level of staffing.
Well, SEALTA says additional activity is planned to tackle waiting lists at Letterkenny University Hospital in the final quarter of this year. Figures have been released by the hospital group in response to questions raised by Councillor Kieran Brogan. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The figures show the numbers attending outpatients increased by 5% in the first 7 months of this year compared to the same period in 2023. However, despite the increase in activity, SEALTA says there's been a rise in overall number of patients awaiting outpatient appointments at Letterkenny University Hospital. This is due to a 14% increase in referrals, with 24,323 up to the end of July 2024 compared to 21,273 last year. Meanwhile, they say the hospital's migration to the SEALTA Group patient administration system in May led to a temporary pause in commissioning and validating the waiting list. This has now recommenced and should result in the numbers falling again. They say inpatient numbers waiting have increased since last year due to additional outpatient activity and the requirement for inpatient procedures for those people. Meanwhile, day case waiting lists continue to fall year on year due to additional activity undertaken at the hospital at weekends. More detailed figures are available on our website, highlandradio.com.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. Well, as you heard in the news, a man in his 30s has been arrested in connection with an alleged bribery of a League of Ireland player. The individual was detained and questioned by detectives from the Garda Anti-Bribery and Corruption Unit in the west of the country. He's since been released without charge and a file has been prepared for the Director of Public Prosecution. The alleged bribery offence happened on the opening day of the season in the League of Ireland in February, and the player who was offered the bribe notified senior personnel at his club, and a complaint was then made to Gardaí in the county of Donegal. Finn Harps' postponed First Division fixture with Wexford has been refixed for Monday the 14th of October at 7:45. The sides were due to meet this Friday at Finn Park, but with Wexford playing Drogheda United in the semi-final of the FAI Cup on Sunday, officials put back the fixture with Harps. It means Harps' final three fixtures of the season will now be played out over a seven-day period. Away to Bray Wanderers on Friday the 11th of October, then the Wexford game in Ballybuffet on Monday the 14th, and the last game of the regular campaign at home to Treaty United on Friday the 18th of October. As Harps hit the final run of fixtures, they sit 4 points off the playoff places. Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley will have to watch Sunday's Dublin derby with Shelburne from the stands. He's been hit with a one-game touchline ban for comments he made regarding referee Damien McGrath after the Hoops' recent draw with Derry City. In the group stages of the Champions League tonight, Liverpool welcome Bologna to Anfield for an 8 o'clock start. The Merseyside club are bidding for 2 wins from 2 in this season's competition. Federico Chiesa will miss the match because of injury. Reds midfielder Alexi McAllister says there's been good continuity between the Jurgen Klopp era and new manager Arno Slot's style of football.
Between Arne and Jürgen, the principles are the same. So as I said, I don't think there is a huge difference. I just think that now we have more of a structure and some patterns that we know or we are trying to improve. So that's the main difference. Apart from that, there is not much to add.
It's a big night for Aston Villa as they took on Bayern Munich at Villa Park in what is a repeat of the 1982 final. It will be Villa's first ever home game in the Champions League. Their boss is Unai Emery, and he says the players are motivated for what will be a special match. But he has prepared his team the same as he would for one of the top-flight Premier League matches.
My idea is we had to compete in Champions League. We had to enjoy this win in Champions League. We have to try to set each match playing, focusing this competition to try to get a good way there. But the most important is be consistent in the season, and the Premier League is the first objective.
Bayern Munich's Harry Kane has been nursing an ankle problem ahead of that tie, while Real Madrid are in France as they play Lille in another game. Those matches all kick off at 8 o'clock this evening. In the English Championship tonight, there's a number of matches. Preston hosts Watford. Sheffield United play Swansea City. Stoke City take on Portsmouth. And it's Bristol City versus Sheffield Wednesday. In horse racing, it's been a good day so far for a number of Donegal jockeys. We'll start with Dylan Brown McMonagall. He's continued his good form with another victory today. That's his fourth in a row in as many days. After wins at the Curragh on Sunday, Down Royal on Monday, Cork on Tuesday, Dylan's latest one came at Bellistown today, where he won the 350 on 4-1 shot. The Poacher Daily with trainer Joseph O'Brien. And across the channel in the UK, in Musselburgh, there's been a double for Donegal jockey Oisin Orr and his trainer Richard Fahey. Two wins today for Orr and Fahey. The first came on True Nation at 8-1. And they also took victory on Stormy Impact at 4-11. On the rugby front, the emerging Ireland squad have opened their tour of South Africa with a convincing one. They ran in five tries in the 36 points to 24 win over the Aerling Pumas and Bloemfontein. Ulster's Cormac Izuchukwu was among the try scorers there. Next up for Simon Easterby's squad is a date with the Western Force on Sunday. In cricket, Ireland have been set a target of 272 by South Africa in their first one-day international in Abu Dhabi. A short time ago, in response, Ireland were 19 for the loss of one after losing captain Paul Sterling for just two in the first over. While in snooker, Mark Allen leads Farrukh Ajab by 3-2 in the International Open qualifier, which is taking place in Sheffield. The first to six will advance there. And that's your sport for today, Michaela.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, the executive chairman of Emerald Airlines has expressed concern that the passenger cap at Dublin Airport will potentially have a negative impact on Donegal and could mean the airline doesn't apply to retain the contract when it comes up for renewal in 2026. Conor McCarthy says the airline, which operates the Donegal-Dublin service, has been told it will have to cut its passenger numbers by 5%. And even though it operates a public service obligation, that service is included. Urging the government to exempt PSOs from cap calculations, Mr McCarthy says if the airline has to cut its passenger numbers through Dublin Airport, then the Donegal service will have to be reviewed in a purely commercial manner.
Dublin Airport essentially is telling us that we have to reduce our passenger numbers next year because they're about 5% over the allowed maximum at the moment. That number is under review, but in the meantime, we're quite concerned that the PSO route to Donegal is being included in that number, which essentially means we have to look on that as another commercial route.
As you've said, this route is a public service obligation route. It's supported by Europe because it's seen as a vital service to local communities in Donegal and as a vital link between the two areas. It's being treated, though, in exactly the same way as a Ryanair flight linking Dublin with Lanzarote, for instance.
Yeah, that's our problem, really. Donegal, as people will know, has no direct rail services and has no motorway links, so it's quite a long journey. Our problem here is that this route is being treated the same way as every other route. We're asking the government to exclude Dublin Donegal from the passenger cap.
Are we potentially looking at the loss of perhaps one, maybe two round trips a week?
You could be even looking at something worse than that, because we're being asked to make our own commercial decisions. It may not even apply next year, but beyond next year, the contract comes up again for Dublin Donegal. It goes out to public tender, and we'd have to ask the question, given that we're a commercial airline and if we don't make money, we're closed. We would have to start making commercial decisions regarding that in the context of limited connectivity. Whereas if it was excluded, it would give us the opportunity to continue and serve that community.
A prayer service is being held next week to mark the second anniversary of the Crislaw tragedy. On October the 7th, 2022, 10 people died in an explosion in the village. The prayer service will remember those who lost their life, and it will be held at St Michael's Church, Crislaw, at 7 o'clock on Monday. Following the service, refreshments will be available at the Crislaw Community Hub. People are being invited to share their memories and provide support for one another. The Northwest region was the driest and sunniest part of the country during the month of September. According to Met Aaron's climate statement for September this year, the most sunshine was recorded in the north and northwest. Zero rain fell in Donegal for 8 consecutive days from Monday, September the 16th, making it the driest September since 2014. Meanwhile, just over 152 hours of sunshine was recorded at Malinhead Weather Station last month, the highest figure in the country. Mostly dry this evening with a mix of cloud and clear spells and light to moderate easterly winds. It will be dry overnight with clear spells. Also, lowest temperatures of 4 to 7 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. An announcement on the go-ahead for works to begin on the A5 is imminent. Since 2007, more than 50 lives have been lost on the route, which links Derry with Auchnacloy in County Tyrone. A man has been arrested in relation to an investigation into the attempted bribery of a professional League of Ireland footballer, which was reported to Gardaí in Donegal earlier this year. According to the Irish Independent, the alleged bribery offence happened on the opening day of this season's League of Ireland in February. The US Special Envoy to Northern Ireland has been recognised today by the ATU for his outstanding contributions to public service, civil society and peace building. Joseph P. Kennedy III, who is the grandnephew of US President John F. Kennedy, was awarded an honorary doctorate during a ceremony at the ATU's Letterkenny campus earlier. And investigations are continuing following the discovery of over €7,000 worth of drugs in Milford. A woman was arrested after searches were carried out as part of Operation Tara. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The eviction notices for this Wednesday evening, the 2nd of October. The death has taken place of Maggie Ward, née Boyle, Mully, Dlenties. Maggie's remains are reposing at her home in Mully, Dlenties. Requiem Mass in Holy Family Church, Edeninfa, on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on Craig's Media Facebook page. The death has taken place of Bridie Nana O'Donnell, née Gallagher, Middletown, Derry Beg. Her remains will repose at her son-in-law Connell's home in Maher of Clogher tomorrow and Friday from 11 a.m. to Rosary nightly at 8 p.m. House private pleas after the Rosary and on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass will be on Saturday morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, with interment afterwards in Maher of Gallan Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Oras Cuador, care of any family member, or Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Harry Arbuckle, formerly of 18 O'Nolan Park, Strabane, reposing at his daughter Gemma Tinney's home at 2 Beachmount Avenue, Strabane, from 6:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Anne Ward, née O'Donnell, Lucan Dublin, formerly of Dlenties, Donegal. reposing at her home until 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in the Church of Divine Mercy, Balgadi, followed by burial in Bohor Nabrina Cemetery, arriving at approximately 1 o'clock. No flowers, please. Donations, if desired, to Our Lady's Hospice, Harold's Cross. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Jean O'Donnell, McAleer, 6 Ballyor Drive, New Buildings. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Dunamana. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. The death has occurred of Patrick McDonough, 50, The Grange, Letterkenny, formerly of Uachtaráid, County Galway. Patrick's remains are reposing at his daughter Mary's residence at 7 Carolina Park. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny, followed by cremation in Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan. The funeral mass can be viewed on the Church of the Irish Martyrs YouTube channel. Family flowers only, please. And the death has occurred of Don Gallen, formerly of Manellan, Crossroads, Killigordon. His remains are reposing at his brother and sister-in-law Paddy and Jeanette's residence, number 12, The Beaches, Navanny, Ballybuffet. Removal from there tomorrow afternoon at 1:30 to St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. Flowers welcome, donations in lieu if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of McGowan's Funeral Home, or any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.